Father, we give you the praise tonight because you are God. We appreciate your faithfulness and your mercies and your kindness. Thank you for the privilege of knowing you and the privilege of relationship. We ask, Lord, that you will breathe upon your word tonight. Thank you for bringing us from everywhere around the world. And thank you, and thank you, and thank you. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name and adoration to your name. Father, touch someone's life here tonight. Change the story of somebody and let no one live here the same. To the glory of your name, thank you and thank you for hearing and answering. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Give the Lord a big clap of hand. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. They are showing us how that Dunamis TV is now on iOS and Play Store. Kindly download the app on your devices. And wherever you are now, you can watch it on the go. The Lord bless you. We welcome everyone here, every bishop and every pastor from all around the world. I believe that we have over 33 countries here tonight represented. And we have people from every single state of Nigeria, everyone, all the 36 states of the country here represented. Even though we have been told that there is some travel caution and travel warning, we are aware that the enemy has tried to do a lot of overtime in our nation with attendant negative publicity. But number one, darkness never quenches light. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. Number two, safety is of the Lord. And people have come from 33 countries here. If you are still interested in coming, be on your way. We have people already on the way coming from Amsterdam, from everywhere. Give the Lord a big clap of hand. That's okay. Give the Lord a bigger clap and a louder shout of praise. We appreciate you and we welcome you. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. We are looking at Isaiah chapter 60 and in verse 1. Isaiah chapter 60 will be a major consideration for this conference. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Shout the loudest, amen. Scriptures make it clear, and the Bible makes it also very, very clear, that towards the end of the age, we are going to be experiencing very, very drastic rise in the glory of God upon the earth. In Haggai chapter 2 also, and in verse 6, all the way to verse 9, he said, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former,
saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. The subject tonight is arise, shine. Arise, shine. Our objective is to understand our responsibilities in the season of glory. There is one way to know that glory is about to hit the earth. It is when you see the manifestation of gross darkness. Darkness. The manifestation of gross darkness confirms that it is time is due for the glory of the Lord to explode. Somebody said, for a glorious explosion, say the loudest amen. Those who must experience the glory that will explode must do two things. One, they must arise, and second, they must shine. I want to say three things by way of this introduction. Arise, shine. Thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. First thing to note is to shine, you must rise. You don't sleep to shine. You don't sit to shine. You rise to shine. You don't dream about shining. You don't wish to shine. You rise to shine. Many want to shine, but they are not willing to rise. Secondly, if you can rise, you will shine. How is that different from the first one? It's very different. If you can rise, you will shine. I want you to notice that the Bible didn't say arise and shine. We read it like that, but that is not what it said. Arise, and what is next? There is no gap between shining and rising. If you have risen, the natural consequence is shining. What is the meaning of that? Whatever cannot stop you from rising cannot stop you from shining. If the devil cannot stop you from rising, he can't stop you from shining. If the forces of darkness can't stop you from rising, they can't stop you from shining. Anything that cannot stop you from rising cannot stop you from shining. Thirdly, rising is a choice, and shining is a choice. Arise is something to do. Shining may be the consequence of rising, but also shining is something to do. We'll look at that later. Rising is a choice. Shining is also a choice. Nobody rises by chance, and nobody shines by chance. Nobody arises by chance, and nobody shines by chance. If anybody must rise, he rises by choice, and anybody who will shine, shines by choice. Nobody stood from a sitting position. And he said, "What? Where are you going?" He said, "In fact, I don't know why I stood. I don't know what stood me up. I just saw myself standing." He said, "It doesn't happen like that." He made up his mind to stand. He had a determination of where he is going before he stood. So people arise by choice. And nobody shines by chance. Nobody graduated with a first class degree from a university. And they asked him, "What did you do to get a first class?" And he said, "In fact, I don't know. I can't explain what I did, but I just graduated and they gave me a first class degree." It's not possible. There are calculated steps he took, decisions he made, and actions that he embarked upon that caused him to shine as a first class graduate. So, rising is a choice, and shining is a choice. If you have not risen, there is a choice you have not made. If you are not shining, there are choices you have not made. Am I communicating at all? If you have not risen in life, in ministry, in assignment, there is a choice or there are choices you have not made. If you are not shining, there is a choice or there are choices you have not made. We are here in this conference to trust the Lord, to know those choices to make in order to rise. Somebody say a loud amen. You know that if I stop here already, I have already over preached. But we are going to find out, what does it mean to rise? What does it mean to rise? Number one, it means to get up from the position of sleep or slumber. To get up from the position of sleep or slumber. It is not possible for anybody to sleep their way into glory. Anybody to slumber their way into glory. It is not possible. It is not possible for anybody. He said in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 11. Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 11. He said, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but try to reprove them." Next verse. Back up a little bit. Read verse 10. Alright, I'll get that passage. He said, "It is high time to wake out of sleep. Cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." You can locate that for me very quickly. Beloved brothers and sisters, nobody can step in. Alright, Romans 13, there's another version of it in Ephesians, but let's look at this. "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." Somebody say a loud amen. It is not possible for a sleeping pastor to experience a glorious ministry. It is not possible for a slumbering businessman to experience a glorious business empire. If anybody must shine, if anybody must experience glory, there must be the waking up from slumber. No wonder Amos chapter 6 and in verse 1 said, "Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion, that are at ease in Zion, that trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations." Woe unto them. Woe unto them. That shall never be your portion. In the precious name of Jesus. That shall never be your portion. In the name of Jesus. If you are saying amen, say the loudest amen. Archbishop Benson, the host of blessed memory, told the story of a man. He was a pastor. Ephesians 5:14 was okay. It was 5:14 I was trying to look for. "Wherefore he said, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." He talked about the story of a pastor. "Awake thou that sleepest, arise." This pastor, I say, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come." This pastor was so sleepy that in the morning, his church members had go and wake him up in his house. "Pastor, it is daybreak." He continued such a life until he was cut short before his time. He tried to do certain things to augment his ministry assignment because supply wasn't coming, nothing was coming. He fell from something and just, that was how he passed. Am I communicating? The Bible says that there were shepherds keeping watch over their flock at night. The light shined upon them and the angel appeared. Divine visitation does not happen for those who are asleep. I'm talking of spiritual slumbering. If those shepherds were not awake at night, it was not possible for them to be visited. If there is anybody here who is experiencing a visitation from God, a visitation of glory, a visitation of light, that person must wake up from sleep, wake up from slumber, wake up, wake up, wake up. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. To rise, get up from sleep. Get up from the prayerlessness. Don't delegate the prayer just to prayer band. Get up from sleep. If we are going to see glory, if we are going to see power, John Wesley said, when God is about to walk, he sets his praying men praying. You know that God wants to do something by the fact that he sets praying people praying. Is God speaking to somebody here? To wake up means, to rise means to get up from the position of sleep or slumber. Number two, to rise means to get up from the position of rest or relaxation. These two are different. This position of rest or position of relaxation is different from the position of sleep or the position of slumber. This position of rest or the position of relaxation is more like the position of accomplishment. It's more like the position of arrival. It's more like the position of achievement, the position of success. I have tried. I have succeeded. There are people today who are settled. They are settled. They are settled. Settled with a level of result or a level of success. And it is a tragedy. It is calamitous. That was what was the challenge with Abraham's father. How many of us know that Abraham was not the first person that wanted to go into the land of Canaan? His father was the first person. But his father came to a place, maybe he felt like he has tried and he has succeeded and he rested there. You look at that in Genesis chapter 11 verse 31. Genesis 11 and in verse 31. And the Bible said, and Terah took Abraham his son and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son, Abraham's wife. And they went forth to go with them from all of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. He was going into the land of Canaan, but he came into the land of Haran and dwelt. He settled. That is what it means. He settled. I'm not done yet. He settled there. And all the days of Terah were 205 years. And Terah died in Haran. When you stop moving, you start dying. Everything around the man starts dying. Everything starts dying for the man who has stopped moving. And he came to Haran. He settled there and he died. I know of people who stopped at the place where God wanted them to start. I was reading the biography of a man many years ago, and I came to the point where this man stood on a large crusade ground and made a very, very terrible blunder. And that became the end of his ministry. And as I read, then I read a second one who declared himself to be somebody. At the end of the day, the Holy Ghost spoke to me so loud. He said, this man stopped where he should be starting. Where he should be starting. He stopped where he should be starting. Am I communicating at all? Arise from this position of complacency, of premature contentment. People are clapping for you in smallness, where heaven is crying for you for failure to go where you are meant to go. Am I communicating? And it is very, very easy for human beings to clap for you when they think you have succeeded. Because the vision of man is limited. Man can't see how far God sees. So with their limited vision, they compare you with other people and they conclude that you have succeeded, you have arrived. They begin to clap for you and you settle. And God said, there is a glory you have not seen. There is something you have not touched. Arise! The fact that you have done what others haven't done does not mean you have succeeded. It does not mean you have succeeded. It does not mean you have succeeded because you cannot measure yourself with the scale of man and confirm your success. You only measure yourself with the scale of God and be able to be sure whether you have succeeded. When you start moving, everything starts dying. And I am one of those who believe that until we see Jesus face to face, there is one more step to take. There is one more level to go. There is one more. Because when we see him, we shall be as he is. Until that day, there is one more step to take. One more move to make. One more impact to make. One more devil to cast out. One more afflicted person to get healed. One more soul to be saved. Until we see him face to face. From the resting position. When Abraham's father stopped and died, God came and picked up Abraham. And he said, what your father could not enter, move and enter it. And God picked up Abraham. And Abraham finished the journey his father started but could not finish. Am I communicating? I speak to someone here today. The journey your father couldn't finish. The journey your fathers couldn't finish. I declare you shall finish it. The realm of glory and the realm of favor and the realm of resources, those ahead of you couldn't touch. God shall enable you to touch that realm. You believe that? Shout the loudest. Amen. Am I communicating at all? You got a car. You haven't arrived yet. You move to a very new, beautiful house. You haven't started yet. You built a very big church. God says there is one more to build. Even if it's not that location, somewhere else around the world. Is God speaking to somebody here? Isaac had a problem initially. Even though they became men of understanding, as we knew later, but that was not the story of Isaac. You look at Genesis chapter 49, verse 14 to 15, you will see a tragedy that happened to Isaac. Isaac is a strong ass. Issachar is very, very strong and very, very solid. He couched down between two burdens. Then the problem came. And saw that rest was good. And that the land was pleasant. I have a good house already. I have a good car already. I'm running 3 or 4 or 5 services already. I've traveled to many countries of the world. That rest was good. And that the land was pleasant, and he bowed his shoulder to bear. The end is he became a servant unto tribute. That is the tragedy of those who decide to rest when it is time to move. That is a tragedy of those who decide to rest when they are meant to rise. They become servants unto tribute. The man, the woman who fails to embark upon acceleration has surrendered to oppression. He saw that rest was good, that the land was pleasant, and he became a servant unto tribute. Those who think that life is a vacation end in frustration. Yeah!
For them, the whole of life is a holiday. The whole of life is a holiday. The whole of life is a holiday. My wife told me, how can you bring me all the way to so-and-so place and we cannot even go out to look at this or that or go shopping. One day we went to Dubai for a program and they said, oh, let them go to a shopping mall. We drove almost 1.5 hours. When we came to the shop, after 2-3 minutes, I said, you people refund me back. Refund me back to where we are staying. I didn't have patience to go around and look around. I didn't have such patience. My body was itchy for work. This Monday to Friday, this week that we went to America, is the longest time we spent in America. There are times we did 3 days, 4 days. One immigration officer said, you trip. When the last trip, not this one. He said, you flew all the way to come and spend 3 days. 2 days? I say yes. We have too much work where we are coming from. That was the first time they are seeing somebody coming and he's not coming to spend 1 month and spend 6 months or spend 3 months or spend 2 weeks. I have never spent a Sunday there. How? Except God counsel or instruct otherwise. And it has to be on an assignment. The first Sunday I spent there was, I think, flight issue. And then I went to a mega church there to look at what was happening on the Sunday morning. Remember that? Am I communicating at all? Issachar saw that rest was good. That was the end of his freedom. That was the end of his freedom. He saw that rest was good. He aligned in relaxation. He aligned to the life of ease. That was the end of his freedom. That was the end of his relevance. That was the end of his impact. Well, there is a time to rest. God rested after he walked. But when you make all of the life to become rest, you rust. Everything you do will rust. You align yourself to ease. Life becomes unease. No ease. One day the Lord showed me, he said, the bird that stops flying in the air is said to fall from the sky. It's said to fall. So arise. God is deliberately speaking to somebody here. Like he told the children of Israel, you have stayed too long on this mountain. It is time to rise and take up your journey. You remember that in Deuteronomy? Arise, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 4, 5, 6. Arise, take up your journey. You have stayed too long. You have hung around this breakthrough. You have hung around this success. You have hung around this victory. You have hung around this testimony for too long. Rise. Take your journey. I was preaching in America and our anniversary of church met us there. 26th anniversary of church met us in America. And I told them, I said, I have been in thought since morning. I said, are there things that justify 26 years of assignment? I say, what are you talking about? Even my children say, say, what will we say about our own life? Now, I said like that because nobody was there when God showed me what he wants to do. And in the economy of things that must be done, there are things that needs to move faster than they are. What does it mean? Get up. To rise means get up from the position of rest or relaxation. Number three, to rise means, arise means get up from the position of failure or defeat. The position of failure or defeat. There are many on the floor because of failure. Many on the floor because of defeat. Arise means get up from the position of failure, the position of defeat. In Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16, it said, the just man falleth seven times. He can fall many times, but riseth up again. There is something worse than falling. Ask me, what is it? It is the refusal to rise. There is something worse than tripping. There is something worse than failing. It is the agreement to remain on the floor. Well, it is bad that it is discouraging to fall, but it is damaging to remain fallen. Are you following what I'm saying here today? It is discouraging to fall. It is discouraging to fail. But it is destructive to remain fallen. Agreement to remain on the floor. I don't know who I am talking to here today. Maybe there is something you did wrong. Or maybe you have attempted in some ways to succeed. You could not. Micah chapter 7 verse 8, Micah said, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Don't rejoice against me. I shall arise again. I can arise again. Catherine Kuhlman made a mistake. She married a man that was divorced from his wife and so on. And in those days, those were very, very, not like today, those were very, very almost criminal offenses. Everybody stopped inviting her. Everybody stopped listening to her. Everybody stopped inviting her. Ministry ended. She said one day she was on the road. And she came to the end of that road. It was a close. And she looked up. Everybody left. Everything was gone. And he said, Lord, I am at the end of the road. And I am also at the end of myself. In the eyes of everybody, I am nothing now. Can you use nothing? Then Lord, take this nothing and turn it into something. God heard her cry. God picked Catherine Kuhlman up. What the devil saw from that woman, he never saw it in the first phase of her life. At the end of it, this woman became a terror to the kingdom of darkness. So aggressive was Catherine Kuhlman's life that in the Pittsburgh airport, they made a passage for only her to pass. They won't allow her to pass where the other passengers passed because she's just walking and everybody's on the floor. They are all lying down on the floor. They will miss their flight. Under the power of the Holy Ghost. She went from crusade to crusade to crusade in private jets, not the one she owned. Billionaires and millionaires counted it a privilege for her to ride in their plane. So you have a crusade in New York, my plane is available to take you. It was more like a struggle. Whose own will carry her? The lady of evangelism, world evangelism. She came out, she rose up out of the shackles of seeming failure. Am I communicating at all? And I'm not using this to encourage negative experiences, but it's scriptural. It may not be a thing bordering on character or anything. It may be failure bordering on effort.
Just you have deployed all the effort you know, and nothing has worked. It has come to the point where it looks like you are lying, that God called you. It has come to the point where the people you left behind are now the ones helping you. You're a professional, a lawyer before, a doctor, an accountant, or something, and they're the ones helping you. And the devil says, just remain on the floor. But God is saying to you, arise. In the name that is above every name, Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord, everyone here tonight that is under the spell of any form of failure, I declare the spell is broken. I declare the spell is broken. I declare the spell of defeat is broken. You will rise again and you will shine. Let me say one thing, take your seat before I leave here. Samson had a calamitous, disastrous crash in Judges chapter 16. You know the story. But in verse 22, the Bible said that the hair of Samson began to grow again. Someone say again. Whatever you have lost has the capacity to regrow again. Hey! I believe there are people whose mantles and graces and favor manifestations that you used to see in this conference, they shall return and regrow again. The things you used to see at the beginning of your life that suddenly disappear, you believe that they shall regrow again. Shout the loudest amen. Help her right there. Power! Take your seat and listen to this. Let me say this, don't forget it for life. They cut Samson's hair, not his head. The worst mistake they made was to cut only the hair and leave the head. Because if the head was cut, we could have said that that was the end of Samson. But it was the hair that was cut. You know what that means to you? Whatever the enemy has done, there is something he couldn't do. Hey! It doesn't matter what the devil has tried to do against your life. There is something God did not allow him to do. There is something God blinded him from doing. There is something God restrained him from doing. And that thing is key to your recovery. Do you understand what I'm saying? It doesn't matter what the devil did to you. There is something God did not allow him to do. Why did they keep him alive? They plucked out his eyes. They cut his head. This is their worst enemy. He finished their nation. The easiest thing to do is to kill him. Cut off his head. And celebrate. They cut the hair. It looks like the knife was going to the head. And then God said, only the hair. He suffered no man to do them wrong. He rebuked kings for their sake, saying, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Somebody shout the loudest amen. Hey! Somebody shout, I am rising from failure. I am rising from defeat. I am rising from frustration. Listen to this. No matter what you have lost,
There is something you have left. Whatever has been lost, there is something that is left. That which is left is the link to the recovery. That which is left that the enemy couldn't cause you to lose is the link to restoration. It doesn't matter what you have lost. There is something that you have left. There is something that you have left. There is something that God did not allow the devil to take. There is something that God did not allow the devil to touch. That which is left is linked to complete recovery. Samson only died because he asked for death. He said, Lord, let me die with the wicked. And God respects the will of man. He said, just this one more time. He asked the young man, he said, put my hands on the pillars that holds. He said, Father, you know what? Just give me just this one more chance. Show your power in me. That was where he should have stopped. Let me avenge myself on my enemies. He should have stopped there. But he said, let me die with them. The house could have collapsed around him and he could be standing. How do I know? The wall of Jericho had a segment that did not collapse. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two pillars, one on the house stood, and on which it was borne up, and one with his right hand, and the other with his left. And Samson said, hey, he's still talking. The one he said before would have been enough. He said, let me die with the Philistines. No. Samson, you have overtalked. Because the house of Rahab the harlot was on Jericho wall. In Joshua chapter 2 and in verse 20. That house was located on the wall, on the top of the wall. It was built on the wall. And when the spies promised her that they will rescue her, they said, tie this scarlet thread on your doorpost. And which she did. And the wall of Jericho collapsed. And they went to her house and brought her out. Which means that segment remained standing.
Amen.
I wish that you can put that for us. Do you understand? So, no matter how desperate you are, don't confess the wrong thing. He performs the word of his servant and fulfills the counsel of his messenger. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And when the wall collapsed in chapter 6, believe from verse 20, whatever, they went to Rahab the harlot. Only her survived. And brought her out of her house with everybody in her house. And the young men that were spies. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out of God, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she had, as he swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her credit and left them without the camp of Israel. From the same wall that collapsed, there was still a house they could bring her from. I just went there to just tell you, the house of the Philistines could collapse without Samson dying with them. Without Samson dying with them. But what you take away from here is, no matter what is lost, there is something that is left. And what is left is the link to complete recovery. What is left? What God did not allow the devil to touch? What God, that area that God did not allow the devil to encroach on, is key to recovery. I prophesy to someone here now. What is left around your life, God opens your eyes to see them tonight. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. As you sleep overnight in divine prophetic encounters, God allow you to see what is left tonight, what is left around your life in your ministry, irrespective of where you have failed, irrespective of what you have lost, irrespective of what has not been working. God, open your eyes to see. Shout the loudest, amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Get up from the position of failure and defeat. It was God's servant, Baba Oyedepo, who said, no matter what you have lost, it is God is the reason why you didn't lose everything. It's possible you lost anything, but God was the reason why you didn't lose everything. Now, what does it mean to rise? Because we are talking about what it takes to step into the glory realm that God has for us in this season. Number four is to get up from the position of weariness and tiredness. Weariness. Is that the same with defeat and failure? No. It's possible to be tired without failing. It's possible to be weary, not that you have failed. You come to the point where you are just tired. Elijah was not failing, but he was tired. Lord, I am not better than my fathers. In 1 Kings chapter 19 and in verse 4. But I am tired of fighting. I haven't failed in one fight yet, but I'm tired. I am tired of fighting. I am tired of confrontation. I am tired of Ahab and Jezebel. But himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now. Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father. I have tried. What you have used me to do, I don't think you have, any of them has done it. And let me just go. Galatians told us in Galatians, I believe, chapter 6 and verse 9, be not weary in well doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Listen. Tiredness on the journey is doorway to the unfulfillment of life's assignment. When we get tired on the journey, you have signed not to complete your life's assignment. When you get exhausted, how do I know that? When Elijah insisted that he cannot do, he's not better than his father's, I am tired. God said, all right, in verse 14, go your way. Look for Hazael. Anoint him. Look for Jehu. Anoint him. Look for Elisha. Anoint him. Hello? You didn't hear what I said? What I gave to you that now you say you cannot finish it, divide it for three people. The anointing you carry that I put on only you, the capacity I gave you, it is only three people that can carry it. One person can carry it. A person may die. You know what happened to Jehu when his own landed on him? He ran on the spot looking for who to kill. To the point where Elisha advised the young man, when you anoint Jehu, run. Because he has a slayer's anointing. And he may start the slaying from you. Are you following what I'm saying here today?
Do you understand what I'm saying?
God was begging Elijah. Elijah had a point. I can't go beyond now.
You will finish your assignment.
No devil shall tire you out. This prophecy is very important. The demons of your father's house will not weary you out. Ancestral altars will not weary you out. Generational altars will not weary you out. Occultic powers.
I heard of a pastor where he, in the city where he pastored, the witches and the wizards conspired with a vow that they must close him down. And what are they going to do? Multiplied negative incidences. The kind of challenge that Job had before he recovered from one, another.
Witches and wizards in the city of Nigeria, in your city, shall not tire you out. They shall not weary you out. The power of the occult shall not weary you out. Your foundation, or the foundation of your family, shall not weary you out. If you believe that, shout the loudest amen. Look at your neighbor, say, I'm not tired. Look at your neighbor, say, I am not tired. I refuse to be tired. I cannot be tired. I am rising up from tiredness because I must fulfill my assignment.
I like you to be brutal. The violent take it by force. You make up your mind, between me and the devil, I'm the one to tire the devil. It's the devil that will be tired. You are pastoring and they are giving you one diagnosis after the other. That devil is a bastard. Tonight that diagnosis expires. The diagnosis expires. The diagnosis expires. The diagnosis expires. Shout the loudest. Amen. Look at somebody by your side again. Say, I am not tired. I refuse to be tired. I told you the story of how a little dog humiliated a big for nothing dog. Little bulldog. He comes from his gate, goes under the fence, crosses the highway, enters another compound, and engages a big dog. The big dog beat it, and then the bulldog goes back home. Tomorrow he returns. Let's continue the fight from yesterday. The big dog beat it. He returns back to his house. Next tomorrow he comes back. He kept on coming until one day the big dog saw it coming and started running. That is, I can beat you, but I'm tired of this fight. That is the strategy of the devil. He wants to weary you out until you begin to turn your back and run. But Joshua said, Lord, what will I say if Israel turns its back on the enemy? Do you understand that the weapons of our warfare have no provision for the covering of the back? Breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, a sword of the spirit, belt of truth, but nothing for the back. Why? The enemy is not permitted to see your back. You are... pursuing. The devil is not permitted to attack you from the back. I announce to somebody here today, the last time you turn your back on the devil shall be the last forever. The last time you turn your back on the devil in defeat, in failure, shall be the last forever. Somebody shout, yes!
to finish this message tonight. Help me shake the hands of 7 people. Tell them, I am not tired. I cannot be tired. I refuse to be tired. I am not tired. I cannot be tired. I refuse to be tired. I am not tired. I cannot be tired. I refuse to be tired. I am not tired. I cannot be tired. I refuse to be tired. I am rising up from tiredness. I am rising up. I am not tired. I cannot be tired. I refuse to be tired. Somebody with fresh fire and fresh zeal, help her right there, and fresh energy, give him a shout of victory. A shout of victory. A shout of victory. I am not tired. I cannot be tired. I refuse to be tired. I am not exhausted. I am not weary. I refuse it. Give the Lord a praise. Take your seat 1 minute. Let's see how we conclude. Hey, 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 hey! How many of you know that the real deliverance is not prayed? Real deliverance is preached. He preached deliverance to the captive. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Liparata, that is in the course of the preaching, the deliverance happens. He sent forth his word and healed them. And deliver them from their oppressions, from their destructions. As I have been speaking right now, there are deliverances taking place right now. Chains are breaking right now. Yokes are breaking right now. Bandages are breaking right now. Liberty is happening right now. Somebody shout, glory! Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. What does it mean to rise? Number 5. Well, I'll stop on this issue of rising. It means get up from the position of no vision and goals. I said it in a long way. Get up from the position of visionlessness and goallessness. When a man has no vision, there is nothing to live for. There is nothing to rise up for. There is nothing to stand up for. Action is the harvest of vision. Action happens by the fuel of vision. Where there is no vision, there is no action, and there is no motion. Write the vision, make it plain that he may run that readeth it. A man without vision has nothing to run about. Action is lacking where vision is bankrupt. Motion is lacking where vision is absent. Elevation cannot happen where vision. Paul the apostle said, I went up by revelation. Galatians chapter 2 and in verse 2. If you are to go up, you go up because you saw something. Am I communicating? The only reason why you haven't left where you are is because you don't know where to go. Bishop, if you know where to go, you live where you are. For he himself knew what to do. So he said, let them sit down on the grass. You remember the 4 leprous men at the gate of Samaria? They remained at the same spot for as long as there was no vision. As long as there was no goal. But suddenly,
One of them said, brethren, why are we sitting here until we die? 2 Kings chapter 4, chapter 7, if you start from verse 3 and 4. Why do we sit here until we die? And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, why are we sitting here until we die? If we say, we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we die there. If we sit here still, we die also. Therefore come, and let us fall to the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. The vision appeared. Sitting in the same position is death. Moving forward may involve death, but it's better to die going forward.
It's better to die in motion. It's better to die in action. It's better to die in combat. Is God speaking to anybody here?
The death of a hero is superior to the life of a coward.
Martin Luther King Jr. died, yet he lived. The death of a hero is superior to the life of a coward.
Because even in death, the hero speaks. In life, the coward has no voice. But those who say, if I die, I die, they don't die. If I perish, I perish. Did Esther die? Did Esther die? She said, if I perish, I perish. Did she perish? This leper said they may die. Did they die? It is those who are afraid of death that die the quickest. Those who are afraid to die, die the quickest. Those who are not afraid of death, death fears them.
Once the vision showed up, if we die, we die forward. It's better to die in motion than to die in stagnation.
And they moved. But the good thing is, until you move, nothing moves. God moves with movers. The Red Sea move away from the front of movers. And they went, and the Lord went with them. Mark chapter 16 verse 20. God moves with movers. Obstacles move away from movers.
Things move for those who move. So these people, all of a sudden they got a goal. All of a sudden they got a vision. And the vision means move.
And everything changed.
Listen. These lepers did not only save themselves. They fulfilled the generational prophecy.
What prophecy? Elisha prophesied that by this time tomorrow, meal shall be so cheap that you will be shocked at the price. One man said, God should open the windows of heaven. Can this happen? The man died. These lepers moved by vision and sparked a revolution.
God caused the Midianites to hear the sound of chariots.
If we move there now, we'll live here tonight.
God amplified the footsteps of the lepers until it became the sound of war chariots.
They were moving steps, and the enemies were hearing kitika, 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 kitika.
Feeble step.
What is the strength of the feet of a leper that has already lost his foot? Here we call them kuturu. Futuristic movement.
There is a sound that the enemy need to hear, but that sound is waiting for your action. Hey! There is a sound of alarm that the enemy in your city need to hear, but that sound is waiting for your motion. It's waiting for your action. It's waiting for your motion. There is a sound.
Are you ready? Note that a generation's destiny may hang on one person's vision. That leper saved the whole nation of Israel from famine by that vision. A generation's destiny may hang on one person's vision. The destiny of your family may hang on your vision. The destiny of your nation may hang on your vision. The destiny of your community may hang on your vision. Let me say this finally. The fulfillment of a prophecy is waiting for somebody's action. You are not the one who prophesied the prophecy, but your action is necessary to bring it to pass. The lepers did not prophesy that the food will be abundant. Elisha prophesied it. But Elisha could not work out the fulfillment. There is somebody else. So to refuse to act is for a prophecy to fail. Possible. To refuse to see is for a generation to sink. If possible. Imagine Moses lost in the wilderness. Israel buried in Egypt. Something is happening now. Something is happening tonight. What is coming to you is rain in a rapid, very rapid. Because God is about to do some very quick things. When we got to North America, I went there with examination. I didn't come here to waste my time. All of you here in America, you are sitting down. In a simple McPherson's America. Maria Woodward Eaters America. Alexander John Dewey's America. Charles Price's America. John G. Lake's America. America of Charles Price. Of Jaco. Of A.A. Allen. Of America Smith. Those who had influence there. America of Kenneth Hagin. America of T.L. Osborne. Ora Robbins. And you allow gay agenda to take over D.L. Moody's America. Billy Graham's America. Billy Graham's America. Billy Sunday's America. Mordecai Ham's America. William Braham's America. Jeremiah Landfire's America. His, and you are just watching. I went there with an anger. Drastic things happen. One white woman who came from Canada, she says she has been to conferences all her life. She has not seen anything like this. Palpable. Tangible presence. Visible, drastic manifestation. A man who came all the way from Louisiana, went back, he texted me the next Sunday. He said the church people, almost 99% white, a black man, they saw what they never saw before in service that Sunday. On his return. Whole place around. Are you planning to show us that clip?
Your holy presence
over United States of America. Imanada. Opumushidano.
Managalaya.
I love to say it like this. Revival now.
Revival now.
Your will.
coming to an end in the name of Jesus.
Power of the Holy Ghost. He copata la pretesini. Samande, help it, help it. In the heaven. He kepe pretesitre tu sta vida.
18 years of.
Are you seeing that fire there?
The right eye totally gone. Right eye totally gone. And what happened tonight? And you saw what I was doing. Can you close the left eye now? And you see me clearly. Follow me. Hey, 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 hey.
Tell me about your fight.
I've been having a fight for the past 3 to 4 years. I've been taking gel treatment and everything, and it's not working. Then so I was, when you said pain like what up, I was checking, it was still there. So I just sat down. Then you mentioned it. I've been seeing my healing, because once I was sitting down, I just had the voice saying that I'm not going back to Dr. Patel for the injections again.
You said that to God, and God is saying, somebody here with arthritis from Ghana, a woman. Hey! Lift your hands. Oh, the Holy Ghost, I command it gone forever. Parkinson's disease with continuous vibrations and tremor like that, paralyzed and weak, couldn't lift the hand up. Now lift it again, sir. All right, that you are the one from Tennessee with the neck thing. Yesterday is real and continue till today. Give the Lord a big clap of hand. I announce in the name that is above every name, Jesus the resurrected Lord, whatever is a pressure on your life, it is over forever.
God, thank you for him.
That man went under power, very aggressive. He's the one on the floor.
Fire of the Holy Ghost. Fire. Fire. Ikepeya. Fire.
Today I announce to you, in the name of Jesus, whatever has blurred your vision and deprived you of a goal, it is over forever. It is over forever. It is over forever. It is over forever. If you are saying amen, say aloud amen. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. When you have risen, you shine. Let me use 10 minutes to tell you what it means to shine. And then we'll pray. That's right. Shining is both a condition, a word that refers to a condition and also depicts an action. So what does it mean to shine, number one? It is to be outstanding. Arise, be outstanding. What does it mean to shine? That is, you refuse to die under. You refuse to die out. To shine means to release content and deploy potential. You want to step in to the glory realm. Release your content. Deploy your potential. Release content. Deploy potential. Where did I see that from? I saw that from Jesus in Luke chapter 9, from verse 29 all the way to verse 33. When his garment was glittering, what he carried was coming out. Number three, to shine means to engage mentality and deploy intelligence.
someone is shining in the class, it means he has engaged his mentality and deployed his intelligence. You are bringing your mental resources to bear in order for the results that must be seen to be seen. God does not give anybody any department of our life that is useless. Spiritual people think using the mind is not good. No. Engage intelligence. Engage mentality, deploy intelligence. Number four, shining means release and emit inherent light. Inherent light. If the light you carry, push it out. Light, insight, knowledge. Push it into your task. Push it into your life. Push it into what you do for life. And five, to shine means to polish. You know how we shine a shoe? Polish your life. Upgrade and upscale your capabilities. Upgrade, upscale. Upgrade, upscale. Polish yourself. Don't live your life dull. Don't leave your potentials unpolished. When these things are done, when you determine to rise and you have risen, and you determine to shine and you are shining, no devil can stop you from seeing the glory. I see a generation of people here that will be rising out of this place tonight, and the devil will be shocked when they see you on your return. In the city where you have come from, in the community where you have come from, in the church where you have come from, the devil will be shocked to see you on your return. If you are saying amen, you will stand up on your feet and shout the loudest amen. Shout the loudest amen. A louder believers, amen. Say after me, I shall not abandon my life. I will not abandon my life. I refuse to abandon my life. I shall shine. Lift up your hands, everybody, everybody, everybody. This message is foundational for the things to come. Lift up your hands and lift up your voice and begin to appreciate him. Begin to honor him. Begin to adore him. Begin to worship him. Begin to glorify him. Father, we worship you. We honor you. We adore you. We magnify you. We glorify you. Lift up your voice. Lift up your hands and appreciate him. In the name of Jesus. How many of you are determined to be part of the glory that is about to come? Because there are so many people who will be watching. The earnest expectation of creation waiting. Not many children of God. Not every child of God. Not every of the children of God around that we see will experience end time manifestation. Not that they will go to hell, but they are not ready for it. So they could not step into it. They will watch others. Because unto us a child is born, but unto us a son is given. And the earnest expectation of creature waited not for the manifestation of the children. There are children that are not sons. They haven't matured. They are just churchgoers. The church. They will be watching while people are just testifying of very drastic manifestations. Unnatural supernatural supplies. The kind of things that will just make the ears to tingle. They say, but we are in the same church.
Oh yeah, we are in the same church, but we have not risen equally, and we are not shining equally, and we have not accepted the same responsibility. Am I communicating at all? How many of you know that your children cannot inherit your degree certificate? They have to do their own study. Somebody say loud, amen. Amen.
Father, I am ready for the glory that is ahead. Therefore, I receive the grace to arise and I determine to shine. I receive the grace and the discipline to arise and I am determined to shine. Lift your hands in your voice and say, Father, I am ready for the glory, that is to come. So Lord, I receive the grace and the discipline to arise and the grace and the discipline to shine. Open your mouth and pray right now. Pray and receive. Precious name. Lift your hands everywhere you are. Father, whatever you dropped on Elisha that made him not to give up or turn back until something dropped on him. The resilience of Elisha. The tenacity of Elisha. The tenacity of Paul the Apostle. Drop it on me. I don't want any devil to tire me out anymore. I don't want any situation to weary me out anymore. Lift your hands and say, Father, lay your hands on me. Drop something on me tonight that will give me the resilience to rise and shine. Open your mouth and pray right now. In Jesus' name, lift up your two hands everywhere you are. Lift the two hands high and just demand on God to lay his hands on you now. Thank you. say in the name of Jesus, you scream, I receive. And place your hand on yourself. You can place on your head, you can place on your chest, wherever. What are you receiving? The hand of the Lord that will give you, empower you to arise, empower you to be forceful, empower you to shine. That hand of the Lord is coming upon you. Lift your hands high. Father, let it drop. Let it drop. Let something drop on someone here. Let a change of story happen. Let your hand come upon someone. Let the resistance be over. Let the grace to rise and shine be released. Are you ready? Are you ready? When I say in the name of Jesus, you scream, I receive. In the name of Jesus! It is done. Put your hands and give him the praise. Give him the honor. What a night. I see drastic divine encounters overnight.